We've got some folks on Zoom with us. Welcome. My name is Melissa Millis, white-bodied, cisgender, female. And this morning was one of those mornings where I hate these kind of mornings, where I get up and I think I know what I'm going to wear, and then I change my clothes four times. It's like, come on, I got to get going. Like, this is taking way too much time, right? Thanks. Thanks. But, like, I need multiple layers because it's cold out. And then there are certain things I have to think about with this little sexist lapel mic. You know, and, like, there's just a lot going on. And then I'm like, well, how do I feel? What am I going to wear underneath to be like, forget what's happening in the world? And then I'm like, ooh, we got MLK Day tomorrow. I'm going to whip out my Bryan Stevenson shirt, which says, injustice prevails wherever hopelessness persists. Hope is your superpower. And then I thought, and it's mustard color. Because we're going to do the parable of the mustard seed later. And then I was like, I have mustard colored shoes! And I got really excited. So that's how we got here today. Not in the car, but, you know, all the things. And I'll add that on top of all of those things, my whole being seems to be bracing for tomorrow. It feels as if I'm being tossed near to so much unknown, and I anticipate a huge shift in energy required as the world once again is impacted by a president who models nothing of the ways of Jesus, but rather exudes selfishness and hate and evil, leading astray the most vulnerable, away from the good road. Yes, I feel tossed near to the situation, a situation like so many other things in life feel out of my control and make a life of peace and harmony seem impossible. I imagine that each one of you need what I need today and into this season ahead, that base camp experience where healing and restoration are possible. Last week, as we considered the tools for the mountain, we focused on forgiveness. This morning, we're going to turn to chapter 4 of the book of Mark, and we continue looking at the tools for the mountain. These tools that we pick up, that we pack, that we carry along the way, and sometimes carry for one another, I'll just add that, as followers of Jesus. As is the nature of Scripture, there are many tools offered in today's text, but I would like us to pay special attention to the tools of mutuality and affirmation. Before we jump into our text, let me just sum up all that has happened, a little survey, if you will, between last week's text in chapter 2 and this week's text in chapter 4. So between these two texts, we see Jesus calls a despised tax collector named Levi to be his follower, to be a disciple. Jesus is then questioned by religious leaders about fasting. He makes declarations about picking grain on the Sabbath and what the Sabbath is for. He heals a man with a withered hand in the synagogue on the Sabbath, of course, angering Pharisees who conspire then against him to destroy him. He is met by a huge crowd at the seaside due to the word of him and the healings that are spreading throughout the countryside. He appoints 12 disciples to continue the ministry of teaching and healing. He then teaches about unclean spirits when he's questioned for having Beelzebul, or the ruler of the demons. And he redefines family. That was actually our January 5th text, that redefining of family. And then his teaching begins on the parables. And the parable of the sower comes first, and he offers reasoning for why he's teaching in parables, and then he actually explains the parable of the sower. Regarding parables, a footnote from my NRSV Bible says this, and I want to share it. The Greek word for parable comes from two smaller words put together that mean something like tossed near or put beside. Using elements from ordinary everyday life, they invite us into the story and offer us the opportunity to see things from various perspectives. Simply put, parables ask us to place ourselves within the story and explore its meaning as we seek to live faithfully in God's realm. This is the posture I want to invite us into this morning as we listen to two very familiar parables, that of the lamp under a bushel basket and the parable of the mustard seed, as the NRSV titles them. I'm actually going to read our text from the First Nations version this morning, and I want to encourage you, if you do not have a copy of this for your household, there are copies over here on the side table. Please grab one. Sign off that you have one. We are going to be utilizing this as we do from time to time, but I'm pretty sure I'm going to utilize it for like several times coming up here shortly. So make sure you've got one. Anyway, I'm going to read from the First Nations version, and then I'm going to make just a couple of brief observations before we go into small group and large group reflection time. I want to invite you to utilize the supplies around you or at the tables to reflect and for your thoughts to be tossed near, if you will, to the story. Okay? So I'm going to be reading Mark chapter 4, verses 21 through 25, and then we're going to jump to verse 30 through 32. No one hides a torch behind a blanket or under a sleeping bundle. No, a torch belongs up high on a pole where it can give light to everyone. Nothing that has been hidden can stay a secret, and what has been covered up in darkness will be exposed by the light. The ones who have ears, hear this. Then he added, you must listen with an open heart. The ones who do so will gain wisdom and be ready for more, much more. But the ones who close their hearts to my teaching, even what little they have will be taken away. What is Creator's good road like? He asked. What can I compare it to? What story will help us see its meaning? It is like a single grain of mustard seed, one of the smallest of seeds. But when planted in the garden, it grows larger than all the other plants and takes over the garden. It becomes a great tree with many branches, large enough for the winged ones who soar in the sky to find lodging in its shade. This is the word of the Lord. As parables are not meant to be dissected or used prescriptively, I wish to leave things pretty open-ended this morning as we head into conversation. However, I do want to encourage us, as I mentioned, to pay attention to the tools of mutuality and affirmation. And so to that end, I just want to share that what I hear in the first parable is an invitation to mutuality and a recognition of the tools that we have, that we carry with us. This feels especially important as we are tossed near to the impending political situation, anticipate potential flare-ups in complicated relational dynamics, and shifts of energy necessitated to remain vigilant toward justice in the ways of Jesus along the good road, joining really in that legacy of Martin Luther King Jr., whom we celebrate tomorrow. Prentice Hemphill, author of What It Takes to Heal, offers a helpful picture of mutuality, and they say this. Mutuality allows us to feel or at least maintain a curiosity for our own being, our own sense of self, at the same time that we perceive and take in the other person. Mutuality, relationship, is an exchange, an interface with unknown outcomes. It is a reminder of an encounter with the infinite. In this sense, mutuality is to be tossed near, to be put beside. And in those moments, we recognize the tools that we do have. Or as verse 24 says in the NRSV, pay attention to what you hear. The measure you give will be the measure you get, and still more will be given to you. What I hear in the second parable is an invitation to affirmation. That tiniest thing, the smallest tool we keep packed, that you've continued to carry in your spiritual backpack, is powerful. It holds the potential to become something, a place of refuge, safety, belonging, a home for hope and the kingdom to be extended beyond ourselves. So be affirmed. Individually and collectively, we have done the hard, faithful, and hopeful work of continuing to carry these tools. As we might find ourselves bracing for tomorrow and the season ahead, tossed near to so much unknown and the seeming impossibility of a life of peace and harmony, I am reminded of the good news this morning, the truth that we hold on to from the teachings of Jesus. A note in my NRSV Bible sums it up this way, and I want to read this. God's kingdom is not only or even primarily found in people or places of might and wealth and great power. Like the tiny mustard seed, which when it grows to its fullest is still only a shrub, unlike the cedars of Lebanon, the kingdom may not be towering or overpowering. Yet, the kingdom is strong enough for the birds to nest in its shade, for hope to have room to grow, for freedom to take root, and for the faith of a few to influence the many toward justice and peace. Will you pray with me? God, this morning I am reminded of the chaos that swirls around us. And the chaos that swirls within us. And we continue to carry with us the tiniest, seemingly insignificant things. Tools for a road ahead in the midst of a life where others might speak of different tools that lead to something other than goodness and beauty and life and your good road. We hold out hope, and we know that mutuality and affirmation are needed as we head into the days ahead. These are tools that were powerfully on display in those who have come before us, like Martin Luther King Jr. Like our spiritual family, maybe a grandparent or an aunt, an uncle, a neighbor, a friend, someone who showed us the way of justice and goodness. And we carry these seeds with us that they might become something beautiful. Would you be in our conversation today as we engage with your word, being tossed near to everyday things and situations, that together we might recognize the tools that you offer us to pick them up and carry them with us, or recognize that sometimes it's the person next to us who carries them for us. Amen. We're going to move into a time of small group and large group reflection. As a reminder, I'm going to encourage you to say your name and share just a brief description of whatever is going to be helpful for those around you to know before you share. We're going to follow that pattern in the large group reflection time. And the reflection questions are in the bulletin. They're going to remain constant throughout this series. They are simply prompts, okay? So you can refer to them or allow other questions from today to stir up within you and among yourselves as you reflect on these parables being tossed near to them, okay? So So utilize the questions and prompts however you would like. I'm going to give you a few minutes in small group, and then we'll come back together in large group reflection.